Here we are. Looks like we got a lot of folks that were gone. I was gone 2 weeks of vacation. I came back and I've lost some folk in between here and there. So we're glad you're here this morning, and we're looking forward to a good time. We got dogs dinner after the service this morning. Lord was good to us on vacation. We had a nice time. Nathan spent time with Nathan. So thank you so much for the time off. But we're glad to be back this morning. And Steve's at work, and Janet's still recovering. And thank you, Cheryl, for playing this morning. So we're just covering bases, you know. But we're having a good time in the Lord. And God never changes, you know. He's the same. And so when we come, we know that we have the opportunity to be in His presence and to enjoy, to worship Him, give Him praise and honor that is due Him. So let's stand together this morning and sing and just begin our worship time with Him. What a mighty God we serve.
What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him, heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God we serve. Angels bow before Him, heaven and earth adore Him. What a mighty God we serve.
All right. As we continue to sing this morning, greet one another. This morning, I've got several announcements to go over. Some of them I'm just going to briefly touch on because there are so many. But first one I want to touch on, as you came in and you grabbed a bulletin, you noticed it was a little bit thicker this morning. We've got a couple different inserts in here. One of them is an invitation for you not to put on your refrigerator, but for you to find somebody that you can invite to revival next week. Amen. And you can give them this little piece of paper, and it gives them all the times, the dates, the speakers, who's going to be doing the worship service. So take this, and if you need extras, stop by the church office. We can get you more copies of these. But we do have revival starting next Sunday, and that will run November 1st through the 4th. So it will start next Sunday morning in our morning worship. We have Reverend Brian Letzinger that will be delivering the service. And then song evangelist John Teal will be doing our worship. So take this, and hopefully you guys will be in prayer this week for our workers that are going to be doing our revival. But please, please, please take this, use it, pass it out, invite somebody. Then the other piece of paper that was in there is a little bit of information on our ladies' retreat that is coming up the end of January. So any of you ladies that are interested in going, this piece of paper has all the information on it. And again, you can also use that as an invitation to invite other ladies that might possibly want to go. In your actual bulletin, one that was not mentioned, Ted would like to meet with those of you that are on the Building and Grounds Committee directly following service in the East Overflow Classroom just briefly before we have our lunch. Today is our dog's lunch. That's our dinner on the ground. So any of you that are visitors, we are inviting you to stay with us in fellowship and food directly following service. If you are part of the SDMI committee, we are going to be meeting this evening at 5 before service tonight. Busy week. We've got Bible study and choir practice on Wednesday. Then Thursday, for you seniors, the fall trip will finally be here. It's been pushed off and pushed off and postponed for one reason or another, but there is a sign-up sheet out on the Welcome Center for that. And then also that evening, Ladies Craft Night, you're going to be making some picture frames. I believe the cost is around $3 for materials. And also, again, there's a sign-up sheet for that.
Would you just remind the seniors that they need to bring cash?
Yes. For those of you seniors that are going to be going on the trip, just a reminder, you're going to be eating at a Amish restaurant, and you'll need to bring cash or check. They do not take debit or credit cards. So that's for Thursday's lunch. You'll need cash or check for that. Then this Thursday, or not Thursday, but this Saturday, of course, is Halloween, and I have had several different ladies and people have already brought in candy for that. If you are actually going to be here that evening with a vehicle, we are asking that you try to be here no later than 5 o'clock. That way we can kind of get everything set up and ready so that at 5:30 we can be open and ready for the trick-or-treaters. I was told you are encouraged to decorate that trunk. And there might be a prize given out for whoever has the best decorated trunk. So that's this Saturday, 5:30 to 7:30. If you can't actually make it out, bring by some candy, drop it off at the office. We'll definitely be able to use that. Thanksgiving right around the corner. Lisa Dees is asking for donations for turkeys again this year. They're anticipating a need for around 850 turkeys this year.
The good news is that is about 100 families less than what we were targeting last year. They've had a little bit of a decrease this year, so that's good news.
Very good, very good. So if you are interested in helping out for that, turkeys are $10 a piece. You can write a memo on your check for however many you'd like to do. But they'll be taking those donations until November the 15th for that. We've got one more week. Or we're focusing on the junior high for our pastries and prayer. And then also, this is the last week of pastor appreciation. We've got a couple of baskets out on the credenza. If you guys haven't already, take the chance to drop a card in that basket for each one of our pastor's families.
I get emails on the Jesus film, and I got two really good ones this week that I want to share with you. God knows our needs, said the young lady in Benin. A friend took me to see the Jesus film. I felt God calling me, and I did not hesitate to answer his call. I became full of joy and hope because my friend shared this life-changing experience with me. He is the creator of heaven and earth and knows well our needs and requests. I place all my life before him. I place all my life before the Lord to magnify his holy name at any time and in any place. And then something that I did not know, I learned in this email, that every place, and I don't know if it's every place, but places where they have a lot of people saved during the Jesus film, they plant a church there. And I just thought, what a really wonderful way to be able to help these people that have just become Christians. And this is a story from a church that's been planted by the Jesus Film team. So this happened after the Jesus Film. "Flames of fire were leaping out at me," said Eder in Peru. "My life before that dream had been very sad. I had many problems, but no one knew I was trapped in a world of suffering by the devil. I took refuge in alcohol and was blinded by false hope. One miraculous day, Jesus revealed to me through a dream of fire that if the world ended, I would be ready. I would not be ready. Through this dream, I realized I was not living right and made a decision to change. When I was reunited with my family, I was invited to church and accepted Jesus as my Savior the very first day I went. Now the pastor is helping me in my new life, and I'm very thankful."
Great. Great. Would come. As they're coming, though, I would like to say a word of appreciation from your church to the church, I guess, if that makes sense. Because of your faithfulness, the church is in better financial shape to face the coming fall and winter than we've been in, I don't know how many years, Pastor Gary, a lot of years. And again, it's because of your faithfulness. We just want to say thanks for your continued faith and giving to support your church, and your church says thank you this morning. So, our Father, this morning as we gather together to share the blessing that you have so graciously bestowed upon us, Lord, that we pray that what we give might go to further thy kingdom. We bless the people here gathered this morning in your name, and continue pour out your blessing upon your people and your church. And these things we pray in Christ's name this morning. Amen.
Amen.
Well, we want to continue our worship this morning as we receive our offering and continue to give praise to our Lord. We are indeed in preparation for revival services that will begin next weekend. So as we think about that, we wanted to sing kind of in that theme.
Deeper, deeper in the love of Jesus, daily let me go. In the school of wisdom, more of grace to know. Oh, deeper yet I pray, and higher every day, and wiser, blessed Lord, in thy precious holy word. Deeper, deeper, blessed Holy Spirit,
hilltops down from the skies, coming from glory, lift up your eyes. While we are watching and while we pray, a mighty revival is sweeping this way, sweeping this way, yes, sweeping this way. A mighty revival is sweeping this way. Keep on believing, trust and obey. A mighty revival is sweeping this way. As He has promised, so shall it be. Blessings from glory on you and me. Waters abundant, floods your flow. A mighty revival is coming, I know. Sweeping this way, yes, sweeping this way. A mighty revival is sweeping this way. Keep on believing, trust and obey. A mighty revival is sweeping this way. Prophets had told it, in the last days, hearts shall be filled with glorious praise. Our sons and daughters both shall proclaim the news of redemption through His great name. Sweeping this way, yes, sweeping this way. A mighty revival is sweeping this way. Keep on believing, trust and obey. A mighty revival is sweeping this way. Tarry for power, this is our need. Patiently labor, sowing the seed. Soon comes the harvest, glorious day. A mighty revival is sweeping this way. Sweeping this way, yes, sweeping this way. A mighty revival is sweeping this way. Keep on believing, trust and obey. A mighty revival is sweeping this way.
Strength in the name of the Lord. There is power in the name of the Lord. There is hope in the name of the Lord.
Blessed is He who comes in the name of
As we prepare our hearts for prayer this morning, we ask you to stand with us. In just a moment, we're going to sing a chorus together, and these altars are open to you if you would feel the need to come, if you need a place of prayer this morning, a place to lay down burden, a place to lift up praise. Indeed, aren't you glad that we have a God who is always listening, that He is aware of our needs, He knows our hearts. And He welcomes you with open arms. It'll be a time and a place where you can come and no one will come to you. It'll be your private place of prayer. Continue to be mindful of those things that are listed within our bulletin. And even though we do not have specific names because of security purposes, then we encourage you to continue to pray for these schools as we have targeted. And tomorrow morning, is that right? Carolyn will have her helpers, and they will visit the junior high teacher's lounge, and they will take pastries of all kinds to them. We have yet to not get a good reception when we bring pastries to the teacher's lounge. And so the main thing is, though, is there are notes attached to those boxes of pastries, reminding that teaching staff, reminding that administration that we are lifting them up in prayer, that God knows who they are, and that He's helping them in the task of leading and teaching our children. And so we'll be continuing to pray through the end of October for the junior high school, and then we'll be giving you new schools to pray for at the beginning of November. We trust in your prayer time this week that you'll not only be praying for those schools, but that you'll be praying for these revival services that are scheduled. You know, revival is not about a set of services. Revival is an attitude of our heart. It's a receptivity to God and what He wants to say to us and what He wants to do in us and what He wants to do through us. And so we encourage you to be praying for Brother Brian Letzinger. He is the pastor of our Marshfield Church of the Nazarene, has had a very successful ministry, led many people to the Lord. And so we're excited about him coming and sharing with us and helping us as we continue to try to up our game in outreach and evangelism and sharing the good news with people. And then John Teal is the worship leader from Carthage First. We've worked with him in district assemblies and other places. And John's a wonderful guy and talented musician and singer. And so we're looking forward to a great time of coming into the presence of God and Him ministering to our hearts and spirits, encouraging us, refreshing us, renewing us, challenging us to go out and do His work and His will. So just continue to pray for these things as well as the many situations that are within our bulletin. Pastor Don and Ruth are in El Dorado Springs this morning and this evening. They will be doing a mission service there from the District Work and Witness team in that service tonight. And of course, his son Wendell is the pastor there. So they're enjoying just a little family time this morning. And so you remember them as they present tonight and as they fellowship through the afternoon. We'll be glad to have them back and look forward to that. And so just continue to be mindful of these things. As we sing together this morning, these altars are open to you. You feel free to come, and then we'll join our voices together in prayer.
Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Holy Spirit, Thou art welcome in this place. Omnipotent Father of mercy,
Father, we are indeed grateful for the privilege of being in your house this day and knowing that we did not come here just to a brick and mortar place that's empty and cold, but that we came to a place that houses your presence because we are the temple and you have come in as we have come in. So, Lord, we know that you are here this morning. We sense your presence. It's good to be back. We thank the church family for a time of vacation. And we thank you, Lord, for their prayerful support as we got back into the office this week. And Lord, we just thank you for this gathering today. Our prayer is that, Lord, first and foremost, that we have ushered in your presence as we have come. And Lord, our desire today is to listen to your voice, to hear your word, and that we would be obedient in our response, that we would be humble in our hearts, that we would be open in our minds, that, Lord, you can do whatever it is that you want to do amongst us today. We thank you for the privilege of being here. We thank you, Father, for the family that has been assigned to this place by your directives, Lord. And we pray, Father, that you would just bless. We're thankful for the visitors that have come into our presence today. We pray that very quickly they would not be visitors, but they would just be at home in the family of God as we worship you this day. Father, we thank you for your great salvation. Thank you for forgiving our sins. Thank you for giving us the promise of eternal life. Lord, we want to share that good news with our community. We want to be a lighthouse to those around about us. And so, Father, we pray that you'd help us to be faithful in that message. And Lord, we pray for our upcoming revival services, for the workers that indeed will bring the word to us in a concentrated effort. And Lord, that by hearing your word maybe more often or by a different voice than what we've been accustomed to hearing it, that Lord, something fresh and new will come on us, Lord, that we'll have new understanding, new illumination, new revelation. And Lord, that will excite us and encourage us and empower us. And Lord, that we will go out and make a difference to the world around us, a lost and hurting world, that we want them to know Jesus just as we know Jesus and have the same privilege that we have had to have our sins forgiven and to have a home in heaven. Father, thank you again for this day. May your blessing be upon all of those who need your touch physically, emotionally, most of all, spiritually. Make us to be what we ought to be, and we'll give you the praise and the honor and the glory, for you indeed are worthy of our praise. We love you and we thank you. And all God's people said, amen. God bless you, each and every one. God bless you. Well, I do sense God's presence here this morning, and we are thankful for that. But we're going to change the speed just a little bit. It's been a long time since I've led worship. But thankful for all of the talented people that we have who normally do that. Good to see Janet back there. Good morning, Janet. Glad to see all of you here. I've been in the church my whole life. It's all I've ever known. And my daddy was not a preacher. He was a carpenter and a farmer. But when I was about 11 years old, God began to deal with me. And when I was 13, I acknowledged the call to preach and had the opportunity. My pastor believed in me. I preached my first sermon at 14 years of age. It was about 7 minutes long. You don't get any of those anymore. I studied for weeks. I thought I had at least an hour and a half of material. But I have been blessed by a family that believed wherever God's people gathered that God was present. I was taught a belief system, but we were never hardcore denominationalized. I love the Church of the Nazarene. I'm here on purpose. I love the message and the ministry of the church, the message of holiness. I believe it's a biblical message, and this is where God has called me to fulfill what he's laid on my heart. But I had the privilege, because my mom and my sister sang together, and because we were just in church a lot, to not only hear many evangelists in our church, but I was able to be a part of services and some brush arbors and some tabernacles and all of those kinds of things that are part of the history of the church. We don't hear so much about some of those things now. But this is a song that was written about some of those old days and the way that church took place sometimes back then. And it would be okay with me if God would come in some of those same kind of old-fashioned ways to our church and to our lives. And so it's just kind of a fun song, but it has a good message. It's a revival-spirited song. So I hope you enjoy it this morning. The time was 1955 and a mule was 40 cents. A Cadillac was the car to drive and Ike was president. Revival set whole towns ablaze while mom and dad and kids said we're Holy Ghost electrified by the wild evangelists. Nothing could compare, nothing take quite as high as being in the tent and hearing people testify. And they say, I want to give honor unto God, bishops, pastors, elders. Praise God, I'm in my right mind too. Woke up determined to go 100% with Jesus because 99.5 won't do. Ask the saints to pray, I'll be the one the Lord's calling for in these last and evil days. He's been better to me than I've been to myself. I give God all the praise. Well, once all this had ended, up to the microphone stepped the man of God himself, strong, alone, and prone. And with a furnace in his eyes and no time left to play, that human locomotive right there began to say, I believe in a God who sets a captive free. I believe in the blood that flows from Calvary. Now, does anyone love Jesus? Does anyone hate sin? Does anyone believe that Christ is coming back again? What God wants me to ask you, what he needs to the most, are you saved, sanctified, and filled
with the Holy Ghost?
Oh, listen to the choir. Old Robert's William Branham, Jack Poe and Billy Graham, healed body, soul, and spirit as they thundered across the land. While Howdy Doody held the nation captive on TV, the power of God was on these men to set those captives free. Nothing could compare, nothing takes them quite as high as being in the tent, hearing people testify. And they say, I want to give honor unto God, mothers, missionaries, saints, and all my friends. I thank the Lord I've been saved all day, living free and separated from sin. God, life, health, strength, wouldn't take nothing for my journey. Pray the Lord keep me strong. Woke up with my mind stayed on Jesus, and I've been praising him all day long. Once all this had ended, up to the microphone stepped the man of God himself, strong, alone, and prone, and with a furnace in his eye. I had no time left to play. Well, that human locomotive right there began to say, I believe in a God who sets the captive free. I believe in the blood that flows from Calvary. Now, does anyone love Jesus? Does anyone hate sin? Does anyone believe that Christ is coming back again? What God wants me to ask you, what means to the most? Are you saved, sanctified, and filled
with the Holy
Ghost? It's the easy part, you can sing it with me.
I'm so glad that the Lord saved me.
Well, if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord saved me.
You and me.
I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. Well, if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. The Lord saved me. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. Well, if it had not been for Jesus, where would I be? I'm so glad that the Lord saved me.
Well, I know he saves me. I hope he saves you too. That'll make you sweat. That's true. It's sort of interesting sometimes, you know, people talk about wanting to have church services where they get excited and the Lord moves and all those kinds of things. And then we sit with our arms folded and go, Well, that's a song from back in the 80s. A guy named Carmen wrote that song and performed it in many places. And I was a young preacher then. I liked his music. And so that's been in the archives for a little while. It's been a while since I've done that. But I hope you enjoyed that. And I, you know, my prayer is, I'm a sports fan. Some of you are sports fans. Matter of fact, my son is a sports fan. And he's a big Royals fan. And the other night, I called him after the third out when the Royals won 4-3 after the rain delay. And he told me he almost got in trouble for shouting in his house because he was all excited. You know, I kind of long for the days. I grew up in churches where people shouted. Matter of fact, I'll not mention names because some of you would know, but I went to a church when I first got married, Jennifer, I first got married, and there was a little gal that would set up. Her husband did some music and helped with the worship. And she would sit about two rows from the front. And she was kind of like a tea kettle. You ever hear a whistling tea kettle? You know how they kind of work up to a point, and then they start blowing that steam, you know, and then they start whistling a little bit, and then they really cut loose. Well, that's how this lady was. And you know, kids who had never experienced that, it was quite a deal. But she'd get blessed, and she'd be over here on the, as we were looking at the preacher, she'd always be on the left. And she'd start brewing. And the Lord would start moving. And it'd be, whoo. And pretty soon she'd cut loose, you know. And I miss some of those days. I miss that people have gotten so sophisticated and educated that they can't turn loose and let God move in them and let that expression. And I'm thankful for the raising of hands and clapping and all those kinds of things. It's okay with me if you cut loose once in a while. You know, we just need to kind of let God have his way. We get a little too conscious sometimes of what somebody else might think. Truth of the matter is, if you would do what God wants you to do the way that God wants you to do it, some of those other people might get blessed and do more. You know, things might happen. But at any rate, I like that song. It's fun. I believe revival's fun. I believe church is fun. I believe knowing God is fun. I've strayed. I'm not proud of it, but there's been times in my life when I've strayed. I'm just telling you, when I am right with God, when I'm in the center of God's will, I don't face any of the issues or problems that I face when I am feeling guilty or when I've done something I shouldn't do or when I'm trying to get back in or find my way to the center or whatever. There's just no comparison as to the peace of mind and the power of God when you're in tune with the Holy Spirit. That's a good place to be. And so I want to bring your attention this morning to again, the subject of revival. And I want to talk a little bit about revival readiness this morning. And I want to take you to a couple of passages of Scripture in the book of and the Psalm. All right? Psalms chapter 26 and Psalm 51. Psalm 26 and Psalm 51. And I'm going to read to you as text, and then we'll refer to several other passages this morning as we make our way thinking about revival readiness. Psalm 26:2 reads like this: Test me, O Lord, and try me. Examine my heart and my mind. And then in Psalm 51, we know it to be the prayer of David after he repented after his adultery with Bathsheba. The reading to you beginning at verse 10. Create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways and sinners will turn back to you. There is nothing worse in the life of the believer than to sense that the Spirit of God is far away, not because God moved, but because of what's going on or not going on in my life. That's a dry and barren place, and we don't want to go there, but it happens. And so this morning, I want us to think for just a little bit about the context of these passages of Scripture talking about refreshing, renewal, and reproduction. You know, in the old days, and we talked about this on Wednesday night, in the old days, the church used to be the social center of the community, and it was not unusual for lost people to darken the doors of the church during the times of revival and special services. There would be a myriad of people. It was a community gathering place, and a lot of lost people would come. We live in a day and a time, folks. There are not very many lost people walking through the doors of our churches. And isn't it interesting that in Scripture God told us, He knew it was going to be like this, because He told us in the very beginning, His commission when He left here was to go out. So what needs to happen in revival is that we come in as God's people looking for this refreshment and renewal, and if we open our hearts and minds to God, I believe we will receive it. And as we receive it, then we are motivated to carry that message outside the walls of this facility, and indeed evangelism and outreach and reproduction take place. And that's exactly what David was praying here in this psalm. He said, "Restore to me the joy of your salvation. Grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. Then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will turn back to you." So let me just say this to you. If you want this church to be an evangelistic church, if you want this church to be a soul-winning church, if you want people to be finding Christ as a result of the ministry of this church, then you will commit yourself to whatever it takes to be renewed and refreshed so that that will take place through you. It's not somebody else's job. And David said, "If you'll renew that within me, Lord, then I will do this. I will teach transgressors your ways." How many of you remember when you got saved? How many of you remember feeling so clean and so good you wanted to tell somebody? I was only 8 years old. But I got saved on a Sunday morning, and I remember the next morning, my third grade teacher was Mrs. Bell, Ava Elementary School in Ava, Missouri. And I literally, when I saw her standing at her door in the hallway, I was walking down the hall and I picked up my pace and I ran to her. That was probably about 1966 or 7. And I ran to her and I said, "Mrs. Bell, Mrs. Bell, Mrs. Bell, I got saved." And the good news was she was real happy for me. And she rejoiced with me. But I wanted to tell somebody. And when a move of God comes on us and we experience that freshness and that renewal, we want to tell people because we want them to enjoy what we're enjoying. And I promise you, when God's people get excited, when God's people get renewed and refreshed, they'll tell some folks. And the revival is on. And revival doesn't come in the notes or the outlines of Brian Letsinger. Even though Brian's a great preacher and you're going to enjoy him, he is a humorist. He tells stories. You'll enjoy him. He's an entertaining preacher, but he doesn't preach for entertainment. Okay, let's get that straight. He loves Jesus, and he wants people to come to Christ, and he's a man of prayer. And he's going to lead us in these services into the Word of God. And Brother John Teal, I've heard him play. He plays the keyboards and he sings. And I know about his worship ministry at Carthage First Church of the Nazarene. And I know that he's going to be a blessing to you. And so if we come saying, "Lord, here's my cup turned up, now fill it up," then good things are going to happen. To get into the spirit of revival, I think there's some questions that we have to ask ourselves. Because before we get to the place of really being enthusiastic about winning souls, we've got to get some things charged up in our life. Matter of fact, how many of you know what month this is? What month is it? October. And how far into October are we? Near the end. How many months in the year is that? 10. How many of you remember January 1st, we decided we were going to double in a year. And we were going to do one for one and one. That's every person, win one person to Jesus during that year. Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand because you're looking at the pews. So the answer is obvious. But let me ask you this. One for one in one. Everyone win one in 1 year's time. How many of you have won your one? You still got 60 days left. If you haven't won your one, you got 60 days left. And it's some of the best 60 days of the year because it's Thanksgiving and it's Christmas and more people will turn their mind to the things of God and more people will darken the doors of the church than in probably the rest of the year. And so you have a golden opportunity. There's some things that are laid open for you. And there's still time. But wouldn't it be sad if we got so excited about something and then just forgot about it? Just pushed our responsibility aside like it didn't matter. And maybe part of the reason that we sometimes get bogged down has to do with this first question. I want to turn your attention to Genesis chapter 3. You've heard this before. This is nothing new to you. Genesis chapter 3 reading verses 8 through 11. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the Lord God as he was walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and they hid from the Lord God among the trees of the garden. But the Lord God called to the man, "Where are you?" I thought God knew everything. Then the man and his wife heard the sound of the, or excuse me, he answered, "I heard you in the garden and I was afraid because I was naked, so I hid." And he said, "Who told you you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree that I commanded you not to eat from?" How many of you think God called out to Adam and Eve because he didn't have a clue where they were hiding? So when God said, "Where are you?" was it because he didn't know where they were? No, it was because he was trying to get them to come to some self-realization that they weren't where they were supposed to be. And part of the first step of refreshment and renewal is looking into the mirror of the Holy Spirit and allowing God to shine his searchlight into our soul. And instead of saying, "Where are you?" to say to us, "This is where you are." So if we're going to have revival, if we're going to make a difference, if we're going to see the church really get into that spirit of renewal and evangelism, the first thing that's going to happen is every one of us as an individual cannot assume that just because we got saved a bunch of years ago as a kid that everything's just fine. And we need to look God square in the eye and say, "Lord, I need you to really tell me where I am. Yes, I've professed Christianity for a long time. Yes, I attend Sunday school and church regularly. Yes, I pay my tithe. And yes, I do extra ministries and I go to the work days and I attend the service." But that's not the deal. That's not what God's saying. God's not concerned with what our statistical list is. God's concern this morning is, where is he in your heart, in your mind? Adam, where are you? Pastor Gary, where are you? I just want to be really honest with you this morning. I wish that I could tell you that every Sunday when I step behind this sacred desk, that I am 100% all in, exactly in the center of God's will. But I can tell you right now that the devil fights me continuously on the issue of my personal devotional life. Because I have to love Jesus just like I encourage you to love Jesus, and I have to read the Holy Scriptures because I love Jesus and want to hear from him, not because I have a job to do with 3 points next week and I need to find a really good scripture that fits that theological format. And the tendency sometimes is, after years of preaching, to read the scripture and be sermon hunting instead of Savior hunting. But I promise you this, because I've experienced it many, many times, is when I look into the Word of God to hear the Word of God, then a Word of God comes to me. And there's always a message. But see, the enemy wants to get on my shoulder and say, "Well, now listen, you study the Bible all the time and you're in the office and you're reading those books and you're reading the Bible and you're preparing for Wednesday night and Sunday morning and Sunday night. Man, you're just in the Word all the time." And so his tendency is to get me caught up in other busyness. And every once in a while, God knocks and says, "Pastor Gary, where are you? Where are you? Are you reading the way you ought to read? Are you praying the way you ought to pray? You know, are you doing it because you love me and not just because it's your job as a pastor?" And so I say to you this morning, chances are in your life and relationship with God, the enemy doesn't want you to make it either. So the enemy is trying to somehow get you to slowly, unconsciously drift away from God. He wants you to slowly get to off center. How many of you ever walked through your living room and noticed that a picture was out of kilter just a little bit, and you thought to yourself, I need to straighten that up, but you don't stop right at that moment of time and straighten it up, and pretty soon you walk by there again, you say, "There's that picture, I need to straighten that picture up." And you don't straighten that picture up. And Pretty soon you walk by and you don't even notice that the picture's tilted anymore. It's just, that's just, that's what makes it look like home. So that's a good thing. Makes it comfortable. But if it's out of kelter, it's out of kelter. Where are you? Put your name in there and say, blank. Where am I? And let God speak to you today and tell you where you are. And let me ask you this question. Are you this morning at the best place spiritually you have ever been? Can you think of a time in your life where you were closer to God? Can you think of a time in your life where you were higher spiritually on the ladder? Can you think of a time? Because if those kind of things happen, then we need to get back. We need to always be at the top of wherever. We need to be finding new territory. God, because we haven't got to be God yet. So there's still things to be attained and learned and lived. But we want to be at our best. We want to be growing and maturing and moving further toward Him all the time. Where are you? The second question I'd ask you this morning is, what are your needs? What are the issues that need to be dealt with? When you think about where you are, what caused you to get there? What issues need to be dealt with to bring you up to date? The psalmist also said in Psalm 139, verses 23 and 24, "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Search me, test me, see, and lead me. We're asking God to do a lot, but He can do all that. God can show us what's going on in our life. Listen to this that the Apostle Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verses 5 through 7. "Examine yourselves to see whether you are in the faith. Test yourselves. Do you not realize that Christ Jesus is in you, unless, of course, you fail the test? And I trust that you will discover that we have not failed the test. Now we pray to God that you will not do anything wrong. Not that people will see that we have stood the test, but that you will do what is right, even though we may seem to have failed." When we open ourselves to God's searchlight, "Search me, O God," then what He can do is He can illuminate things to us so that we can examine ourselves in the light of the Lord. And we can see what's not like the Lord. And we indeed then can move toward doing what is right. Do what is right. Brother William Master had pastored over 50 years in the Church of the Nazarene. He was in my congregation at Banner Church of the Nazarene. And he would stand up and testify. He was about 6'2", white hair, had beautiful white hair. And he would stand up and he'd say, "I want to go onward and upward for Jesus," every time. So wherever he was at last time, he wanted to get higher. But he would say, "Do the right thing because it's the right thing to do." Why is it we have such a hard time doing the right thing? I believe every one of us want to do the right thing. What is it that stops us from doing the right thing? What is it that stops us from thinking right, having the right attitude, doing the right actions? Perhaps there's some insight in the letters to the churches. Revelation chapter 2, verses 1 through 4 read like this. "To the angel of the church in Ephesus write, these are the words of Him who holds the seven stars in His right hand and walks among the seven golden lampstands. I know your deeds, your hard work, and your perseverance. I know that you cannot tolerate wicked men, that you have tested those who claim to be apostles but are not, and have found them false. You have persevered and have endured hardships for my name and have not grown weary. Yet I hold this against you,
you have forsaken your first love. Are you hearing this description? God is complimenting them on their position against wickedness and being opposed to people who live wickedly. And yet he turns right around and says to them, but before you get thinking too highly of yourself, I got an issue with you. You don't love me the way you used to. I'm not your first love anymore. There's other things that have crept into your life that you love at least as much as, if not more than me. And when we leave our first love, when we lose that passion, he goes on to reveal to another church in Revelation chapter 3 what really takes place within our soul. In Revelation chapter 3, beginning at verse 14, it says, to the angel of the church in Laodicea write, these are the words of the Amen, the true and the faithful and true witness, the ruler of God's creation. I know your deeds, that you are neither cold nor hot. I wish you were either one or the other. So because you are lukewarm, neither hot nor cold, I am about to spit you out of my mouth. You say, I'm rich, I've acquired wealth, and do not need a thing. But you do not realize that you are wretched, pitiful, poor, blind, and naked. I counsel you to buy from me gold refined in the fire so that you can become rich, and white clothes to wear so you can cover your shameful nakedness, and salve to put on your eyes so you can see. Those whom I love, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. Part of self-evaluation is honesty. And if we have reached a point in our life where we have forsaken our first love and where we have begun to be lukewarm, we need to admit it. And then we need to do something about it. If we're going to experience revival, the renewal and the refreshing is becoming honest and looking in the mirror and saying, you know what, I am not at the highest point spiritually I've ever been. The reason I'm not is because of this and this, and God will help me do something about that. And so I can indeed repent. I can turn away from some of these things that I have embraced that have taken me away from God, that have gotten between me and God. I heard someone say, I think just yesterday I heard this comment. It was in the last couple of days. But anyway, someone said, if anything comes between you and God, it's closer to God than you are. I thought, wow, that's kind of a simple but powerful truth. So the question is there anything between you and God? Is there something that you have embraced in a greater measure than you've embraced pursuing God? And I'm not telling you that the church is God, but I believe that the church is certainly a part of serving God and loving God. And if we disregard the church, if we disregard the things of God's work here on the earth, then I'm not sure that we can really honestly say, I love God with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. If we disregard His house and do away with His work. You know, back in the 70s when the Jesus movement was on, the thing that got popular was, me and Jesus got our own thing going. Well, everything that Jesus has ever had going included more than just you. So if you and Jesus got your own thing going, I'm not sure Jesus is as enthusiastic about it as you are. Because Jesus has got a family and a body. And He said in His Word that you're to be a part of it and you're to perform your part so that the body as a whole can function the way it's supposed to. So if we start saying, well, I want to do this my way, or I don't really want to go that often, or I don't want to be that much, or that's too committed, or that's asking for too long a commitment, you know, I'm not sure we're all in. Because that seems like that's a whole lot more about me and what I want to do than it is about what God and what He wants me to do. Now you done quit preaching and went to meddling. What in our life is unconfessed? What in our life is undone? To not do what God wants you to do is just as much a sin as to do what He doesn't want you to do. To not do what He wants you to do is disobedience. If you're not doing it, you're disobeying. Disobedience is sin. Sin separates man from God. It's a slippery slide. So what action is required? Once we allow Him to show us where we are, and once He reveals to us the issues that have come between us and Him, the things that we value more than we value our relationship with Him, the things that keep us from doing the things we need to do, what indeed are those things? What are the practical steps to renewal? Well, I want to refer you to an Old Testament story about a man who wanted to follow God, but he really wasn't that well acquainted with the Word, but he became acquainted with the Word. And when he did, it changed his heart and his life, and I think that's what needs to happen to us. 2 Kings chapter 23. 2 Kings chapter 23, beginning at verse 4. The king ordered Hilkiah the high priest, the priest next in rank and the doorkeepers, to remove from the temple of the Lord all the articles made for Baal and Asherah and all the starry hosts. He burned them outside Jerusalem in the fields of the Kidron Valley and took the ashes to Bethel. He did away with the pagan priests appointed by the kings of Judah to burn incense on the high places of the towns of Judah and on those around Jerusalem, those who burned incense to Baal, to the sun and moon, to the constellations, and to all the starry hosts. He took the Asherah pole from the temple of the Lord to the Kidron Valley outside Jerusalem and burned it there. He ground it to powder and scattered the dust over the graves of the common people. He also tore down the quarters of the male shrine prostitutes, which were in the temple of the Lord and where women did weaving for Asherah. And then jump over to verse 24. In verses 24 and 25, it says, furthermore, Josiah got rid of the mediums and the spiritists. Now see, mediums and spiritists are people that claim to be spiritual, but they're giving you bad advice. They're not giving you God's Word advice. They operate within some spiritual realm, but it's not God's realm. Furthermore, Josiah got rid of the mediums and spiritists, the household gods, the idols, and all the other detestable things seen in Judah and Jerusalem. This he did to fulfill the requirements of the law written in the book that Hilkiah the priest had discovered in the temple of the Lord. What does the Scripture say to us? Be ye doers of the Word and not hearers only. Anybody can hear something and say, well, that's a good truth. But if that truth doesn't soak into you and you don't apply that truth, what good does it do you? If you don't live in that truth, what good is truth? And how crazy is it to say this is truth and then still live a lie? To not walk in truth. Say, yes, that's truth, but I don't want to do it. How obstinate and rebellious is that? To say, I know what I ought to, but. Well, that big but will get you in trouble. And you know it, and that's worth an amen. I know what I should do, but. I know the truth, but. I know I shouldn't feel this way, but. What you're saying when you say that is, God, I know the truth, but I don't care. I'm not going to do the truth. I'm going to go ahead and feel the way I feel. I'm going to go ahead and hold this grudge. I'm going to go ahead and hang on to these feelings. I'm going to go ahead and harbor this attitude. Because I know I shouldn't, but. What if God looked at us and said, well, I'd like to put you in my heaven, but. Two weeks may not have been long enough for me to be gone. I'm back. Do we want revival? Do we really want a move of God? Are we willing to lay ourselves out in utter abandon before God and say, I'll do whatever you ask me to do. I'll go to the altar. I'll visit the neighbor. I'll make a phone call. Whatever. I want revival. And whatever the price is, I'll pay it. Is that what we really want? Or are we saying, now listen, God, that's a little steep. And it's part of our humanity. I had the honor and the privilege last Friday night of attending Jonah. And I had the honor and the privilege of attending Jonah because I have a connection. And my connection had a connection and got me tickets that didn't cost me anything. Tickets that normally cost up close to $50 or more. But I'm an old Missouri farm boy who has a hard time paying $50 for a ticket to go see something. And yet when we got there and you think about the millions of dollars, 3 years it takes to make one of those productions happen. By the time they design it, produce it, make the sets, carry them out, they bring them, usually start it in Pennsylvania, and then they bring it from Pennsylvania to Branson. They ship it in. There's probably 50 to 75 actors involved that they're paying those people, plus all the glorious wardrobes and costumes that they use, and I'm griping about a $50 ticket. But I think it's how we do God. Lord, I'd like to have your power. I'd like to have your glory. I'd like to have your splendor. Lord, I want you to come and just you know, get our church all excited. But if that's what it costs me, I don't know, Lord. That's a little heavy. And I think I'm guilty of that. And I'm sorry, I ask for your forgiveness, I ask for God's forgiveness. Because I think sometimes I look at the price tags way too often. And I don't stop to consider what the benefit of that investment might be. Because when I walked away from that story the other night, I had heard the gospel of Jesus Christ, which was a message worth way more than $50 for my eternal soul, presented in a very unique way. And so God's still teaching me stuff. If you go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 13, and you go a few verses further than where we were at, you'll find in verse 11 these words. Finally, brothers, goodbye. Aim for perfection. Listen to my appeal. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. You really want God in your life? Aim for perfection. Quit making excuses. You want revival? Lay yourself out on the line and say, I don't want something to be between me and God. I want me and God to be together. And whatever price is I have to pay, I'll pay. What would life be like if God always responded to us the way we respond to Him? What would church be like if everybody else did church the way I do church? I know it's not easy. I know it's a challenge. I believe God wants to move amongst us. I believe He wants to save some people. I believe He wants to have an impact on our community. And He's chosen to do it through us. So are we going to choose to allow that to happen? I don't want this morning's message to be one of those kind of things where you feel like you got beat on a little bit. I hope what you're hearing is that God wants to bless us. God wants to fill us. God wants to saturate us with His presence. He wants to make our lives better. He wants to do some wonderful things. He wants to create some excitement in our lives and in this church. But we have to do something. We have to make some steps toward Him. We have to be willing to surrender things. We have to be willing to ask God questions, not tell Him statements. Let him do the telling and us do the obeying. God wants, he's already, it's been a great summer. We've seen new people come in. But we have to stay with it. We have to maintain those folks. We have to build those relationships. Yeah, how many of those new people that have come in this summer have you met personally? We're in this together. And we're not saved by our works, but when we're saved, we work to please Him. It's not a free ride for anybody in the sense that we have no responsibility. It's free as a gift to get in. But if we love Him, let's live for Him. I believe He wants to do a work in our lives. I believe He wants to refresh us. Stand with me this morning. We're going to play any music. We're not going to sing any songs. We are going to open the altar. And I'm looking across this crowd. I know most of you, all of you. I just know Jim briefly because he just came in this morning. But I know the rest of you. I know you love Jesus. I know you want to see people get saved. I know you want people to go to heaven like you're planning on going to heaven. So no pretense. No created atmospheres. Let's just be honest. We have the opportunity to experience revival. Where are you? What are the issues? Are there things between you and God? Things that need to be dealt with? And will you take the action required? Josiah became acquainted with the Word of God, and as he became acquainted with the Word of God, he began to do what the Word of God said, and it changed things. He did away with idols. He got rid of the spiritists and the mediums. He got bad advisors, people who talked spiritually, but they weren't really acquainted spiritually with God. You know, he took out of his life the stuff that was dragging him down, because he wanted God more than he wanted anything else. And when we get to where we want that, things happen. So with every head bowed and every eye closed, Father, we come to you this morning thanking you for this day and for this word. Lord, I know I needed to hear this word. As I prepared this sermon, I needed this word in my life. And Lord, you know that I've already spent some time with you saying, Lord, here's something that I think is not pleasing to you. Here's something that I think doesn't look just like you. And so, Lord, I just pray this morning, we just want to give the opportunity. If there's anyone here this morning that just needs a place of prayer, a place to lay some things down, a place to pick some things up, a place to just let God move on you, these altars are open. We invite you to come this morning. This is your time. Where are you? What are your needs? Do you want revival? There are moves that are being made. Will you make a move this morning? Do we really want revival? Do we want revival enough to pay a price for it? To commit to attendance, to commit to prayer, to commit to doing invitations, to physically taking time out of our schedule, to make this a priority? What will we do? What will we do? Anyone else this morning that needs a place of prayer at the altar? Just to say, Lord, I just want to be all in. I just want to be ready to do whatever you want me to do. I want to be ready for revival. I want to experience revival. Don't you want to experience revival? How many of you could use a revival in your soul this morning? How many of you could use some refreshing? Could you use it enough to come and ask God for it? Do you want it bad enough to make a move and say, I want it. I want to make a visible statement. I want it. I want revival. Father, we love you this morning. Thank you for our good brother here. We pray that you would just fill him to overflowing. Meet the need of his heart this day. Help him to know that he's your son and you're his father. And that you love him. You want him to crawl up in your lap. You're going to put your arms around him. You're just going to squeeze him tight. You're going to fill him to overflowing today, Lord Jesus. You hear his prayer. You know what his need is. And you're already on the job. And we thank you for that. Thank you for my sister this morning. Not only my sister in the Lord, but my sister. Thank you for every good thing she's done for me. She's watched me grow up, worried about me, made over me. Lord, I pray this morning you'll make over her. Fill her up, Lord Jesus. Bless her. Use her. Lord, one of the greatest fears I have as I age is getting useless. Not being able to contribute anymore. Lord, there's always something we can do. You value us, and we have value in your kingdom. And Lord, so we pray that you just help us to find our place. Lord, help us to pursue you with passion. That we might experience you in your power. We want revival. Bless our workers that are coming. Bless our people this morning. We pray, Lord Jesus. We pray that we'll not be disappointed, but that we'll come and that you'll be here. And that you'll fill us to overflowing. And you'll bless our lives. And the Lord will say it's been one of the greatest revivals we've ever had. And we thank you for it. In Jesus' powerful and precious name.